look at the play clock.
But there it goes again. Hey, they were generous there. They were generous. They didn't beat it. Here's the pass by Zappe. Open man at the 10. And strutting in for the touchdown is Devontae Parker.
Call it what you want. Say what you want. He got the touchdown. I don't care if it's delay a game or not. That's up to you. But you know what? McGarvin and I, we're here to talk some Patriots. First quarter of the season's done. Like, how are we feeling? How are you doing today? What's on your mind?
Doing well. How are we feeling? Not super. Not feeling super about the season to this point and the way it's tracking. But, you know, I'm an optimist by nature, so I'll just go ahead and keep pushing through and, you know, enjoying every game. Because as much as, you know, some of it looks, you know, ugly, I'm still having a good time, so.
That's the best way to look at it, is from like an optimistic standpoint view, where it's just like, hey, there's first four games may not have gone the way we wanted. I know there's the whole, oh, yeah, we were here last year, but I look at it for there's 1-3. This is still a team that, like, it's not like we're Vegas, a team I think you and I were both down on going into the year, where it's like, you know what?
And yeah, we were right.
We were right. You and I were right. But this is just a general, hey, yeah, this team's still another year or two away from being back in that conversation. I'm not saying Super Bowl conversation, but like true, when you look at them as like a true, true playoff contender. So for the most part, you can't be mad. And when you look at the kid, Bailey, Zapp, I'm not mad at it. I know people kind of go on and say like, oh, Bailey Zappe, like this, like, you know, there's the whole, how do you go back to Mac Jones after this? I'm just like, I'd rather have him up than Jared Stidham right now.
Yeah, that's been an interesting little, you know, development from, you know, Sunday's game. I really don't know how anyone watched that game and thought, oh yeah, Mac is in trouble. I'm like, he went out there, he completed 10 passes for less than 100 yards. He took some horrendous sacks. I just don't know how anyone can say that seriously. Now, I know a lot of people were joking about it on Sunday because it's fun. And then Monday came and there were people who took it a little too seriously. And I'm like, oh, y'all meant this. Like, y'all actually meant this. That's kind of crazy. But I think for what it was, you know, being thrust into the game with, you know, his first NFL game, period, first time even being active, getting thrown in there and having to play him, you know, a majority of the game. Hoyer went out with the second drive. So he had to go in there and play a majority of the game. So I think for what it was, like, I think it was a fun story, but I think there are legitimate concerns if Zappe has to, you know, play any significant number of games going forward.
Yeah, even with the easy schedule that's coming up, I don't even want to, like, I'm afraid to call it easy just because I feel like with the NFL, you always, those are the games, you know, yeah, we're going to win, no problem, and then you snap your fingers and you lose them. Yep. So that's why, like, I'm kind of skeptical about this stretch, but my whole thing is if they can go into, let's see, if they can go into that Thanksgiving night game at 4-2 since starting this week,
yeah,
I'll be okay. I think that's best case scenario for the Patriots is 4-2 for the next 6 weeks.
I think the stretch is a lot easier than I guess softer is the better term because there's nothing easy in the NFL, but it's not as grueling as other parts of the schedule. But you think they have what, Detroit? Detroit comes up, then you got Detroit, Cleveland. I believe they play
Chicago.
The Jets. Chicago's in there, and then they also play Indianapolis over the course of the next, like, six or seven games. And I'm just looking at them like, I don't know, man. Those games, you know, on paper are winnable, but it actually really just more or less depends on how it looks from a quarterbacking perspective. I think if it's Zappe out there, it's not going to be as soft as it could be. just because my biggest concern with Bailey Zappe is his
awareness?
His well, pocket presence, yeah, but his progressions, his reads, he just goes through them so slowly, and he has since camp, and he's a rookie, so you kind of just, like, assume, like, you know, that, yep, that's kind of how rookies are, but he goes through them so slowly, and then when he finally gets to, like, the read he wants, the ball is late, like, every time, and I'm just like, okay, cool. I haven't seen enough throughout all of camp. I thought he was kind of up and down as far as accuracy goes. I have, like, legitimate concerns on what happens if he has to, like, you know, go out there and start a game from start to finish and kind of, you know, I think on Sunday you saw that the Patriots coaching staff kind of coached around him. You know, his first few throws, he had one, you know, that was a bailout, he bailed on the play, rolled out, tried to hit Ramondre from there. They gave him three bubbles in a row or something to that effect. A lot of short, kind of easy passes. He threw two screens. The best throw he made was the dig route to Nelson Agholor, and even that was late and behind. You know, he had a touchdown if he puts it on him in time. The Devontae Parker touchdown, same kind of thing where, you know, he got it and he took it, and we just saw the clip, and he took a bit, like you saw even then it was a busted coverage, a delay of game, and the ball was late and behind. So it's like, all right, how does that look when there's not a busted coverage and things of that sort? So I think that's like the real concern. I think Hoyer, and I'm not a Hoyer guy by any stretch, but I think Hoyer, if he's clear to play, should play, because I think he kind of just gives you, you know, you know what you're going to get out of him. It's going to be like C minus, maybe, you know, D plus kind of play from him. And I think that can be enough with the ground game and the defense, because I actually really do believe in that defense. I have concerns about quarterback for this stretch, regardless of the team. I think they'll be fine for Detroit. I think they're going to have a whale of a game in against Cleveland if they have, you know, if they have to play Zappy in that point.
I'm waiting for 2 weeks from now, Monday Night Football, for Justin Fields against Bailey Zappi, and it's going to be like 12-7. And all of America is going to be
between them.
And all of America is going to be like, "What? Why are we watching this? What the fuck is this?" And I'm just like,
mind you, football. I like Justin. I do like Justin Fields. I like him quite a bit. I think it's hilarious that they just don't let him play football. I'm like, cool.
And now their top running backs hurt, so more the merrier for them.
Yep.
The one thing I wanted to ask you so far, so we're going to go back now. We're going to look through the first quarter of the season. That's my new thing I want to do here every month. Get either yourself, other Patriot content creators on here to basically talk about, you know, besides the weekend that was, which we can even talk about that some too, including I brain farted there. But basically for the first four games of the Patriot season, regardless of the Mac injury, positives, negatives, what have you taken away from it? How does it change of what you thought of this team since you and I last spoke in July?
I think they have that, like, a top three running game in the NFL. It is very good. It's very varied. They're running a ton of different schemes, and both of the backs at this point, because they're only playing two of them, both Ramondre and Damian are running really well. They, you know, obviously getting opportunities in the passing game because the Patriots don't have a passing down back right now. I think their run game is legit. You know, I think that's going to carry them, not even beyond Mac Jones' injury. I think it's going to carry them throughout the year because it is very good. I haven't seen enough out of Pierre Strong. I just don't know how he's not getting any snaps. Like he's barely even lining up, but he's out there. So I haven't seen enough out of him, but I think the running game is where they're going to lie. I think the biggest negative for me, though, has been tight end play, right? So we all kind of expected Jonnu to kind of take that next step because, you know, we saw what he looked like in camp and he had a disappointing year one. And I think on the whole, he's been really good, just not very productive as far as like a pass catcher. But he is their best blocker far and away. I think the biggest surprise, though, is that all of a sudden Hunter Henry forgot how to play football. He is just an absolute liability out there in the run game. You can go back and watch any pick a game. If he's on the field, you'll just watch. If it's a running play, you'll find him at the end of the play getting up off the ground. It is actually really bad. And I think it was especially, you know, exposed on Sunday against Green Bay, where, you know, Johnny got hurt, his ankle got hurt, and, you know, Hunter Henry's out there and he was just lying down every time, and you're like, cool. You know, Ramondre has to make the cut in the backfield, or Damian has to, you know, elude two defenders before he even gets upfield. And you look, and 85's on the ground, and I'm like, all right, cool. Now, granted, I don't think he was a great run blocker last year, and he's never been a great run blocker in general. I just think he just doesn't have the receiving production this year to offset it like he did last year. Whereas last year, he wasn't a great blocker, but it didn't matter. He was catching passes and, you know, spiking footballs. So I was like, all right, cool, totally, we'll, you know, make it happen. That's not happening, and it's just kind of highlighted because you're just looking, you're like, where the hell is Hunter Henry? Oh, there he is on the ground. Cool. So if John was out for any portion of time, I think the Patriots lose. They lose their best tight end, and I think he's actually one of their best offensive players. And I know that sounds silly to say because the production isn't there, but I think when you watch the tape, it's, you know, you see the opportunities that they're even though the ball's not necessarily going his way. I think, moreover, on the big story on the first quarter of the season, as far as like the offense goes, a lot of people are harping on the Kendrick Bourne thing. You know, he played 2 snaps in week 1, and he's kind of, you know, been in and out of the lineup from there. I mean, he's played at least 20 in every game since, but it's like every week, you know, there's a new, oh, well, what's happening with Kendrick Bourne? What's happening with Kendrick Bourne? And I think he needs to play more. He just needs to play more. I think it's a tough equation, though, because the question then becomes, who do you take off the field for him? I think Nelson Agholor has been very good, straight from, you know, OTA straight through now. I think he's been very good. If he doesn't fumble those 2 balls, the one in Miami and the one, you know, against the Ravens, I think his entire season looks a little different because he has been very good. It's just the fumbles that have been the issue. So you have Nelson Agholor. He's kind of been playing the Z role. Obviously, Devontae Parker is the X. Kendrick Bourne can't play X. Cool. So then the question that becomes, all right, well, do you take Jacoby Myers off the field for Kendrick Bourne? No, because Jacoby Myers is Jacoby Myers, and he's kind of your most consistent, if you know, consistent option, even though he's the most explosive. So then it kind of just leaves Bourne as the odd man out, and it kind of bites. And it's made even worse by the fact that he can't run block. And so the Patriots are using Logan Humphrey in that role, and people just don't like that. And I understand. You obviously want more of that, but it's not like little Jordan Humphrey's going out there and running, you know, a ton of routes, and you know, he's getting opportunities that Kendrick Bourne's not. Neither of them are really, you know, neither of them are playing the same role as each other, so I don't think it really counts. I mean, you look at, I think it was week 1, little Jordan Humphrey's, he played, you know, what I think it was like 30-some-odd snaps. He ran 5 routes. You know, he was just, he came in as a pass blocker. I mean, sorry, as a run blocker. And I think that really does speak to the fact that Hunter Henry just can't do it. So they're finding someone who can. So you see a lot of times the game's open and it's 81 and 83 out there. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, I can't believe, you know, little Jordan Humphrey, he's starting or he's getting all these reps. And I'm like, well, they need someone to run block and it's not going to be Hunter Henry because he can't do it. So, you know, it's kind of tough. But I think the coaching staff, I mean, they're paid handsomely. They have all this prestige, all this legacy. They've been doing it for longer than I've been alive. They kind of have to figure it out because Kendrick Bourne just needs more opportunities, like plainly put.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Because remember the last time I came on, what was my hot take on the year? Well, that's freezing cold right now. That Kendrick Bourne was going to be a 1,000-yard receiver on the year. That was my big.
I said they were going to be a top 10 offense. I did say that. So you know, also freezing cold. It's early. It'll warm up.
That's the thing though. It's October 4th. I'm not like freaking out. That's the thing with the NFL too. It's such a week to week thing. Like remember after week 2 and everyone was being like, you know, Bills Eagles Super Bowl, like it's gonna happen. They're gonna be there, yep. And then it's like that chatter goes away. Yep. It's like anything in this league, you literally have to take it a week at a time, hell, a day at a time, because this league is just changing so quickly. I agree with you on the Hunter Henry stuff. Like he's been an unknown out there this year. Like you said, he's either on the ground or he hasn't done anything when it comes to touchdowns. The one thing I always like want to take away from the season so far is the fact that the Miami game. We only let them score 13 points on offense. Now the defense. Now the obviously there was the one fumble, but that's neither here nor there. If I had to look at it so far, there's for all the negatives that there are, you have to balance it out with the positives. Like I look at Pittsburgh as a positive game. It was an ugly win. I know people like to go, oh, that was such an ugly win. If you want to win in this league, you got to win ugly. Not every win is going to be pretty or cakewalk. Buffalo learned that on Sunday. That, you know what, sometimes you have to go and do it the hard way and win. But then with Sunday, moral victories suck. But at the same time, too, I've been seeing, like, you know, all the big heads being like, no one, when they put their, like, level of concern, no one's really looking at the Patriots. It's always that, hey, they'll figure it out. They'll find a way. Like we said, the schedule is, you know, softer coming up. But this team as a whole, like, and I look at it too, the positives, which we'll get into later, I look at still is the offensive line minus Isaiah Wynn. Like, the other 4 guys have been playing great so far.
Yep.
I'm happy but brought Marcus Cannon back. Matthew Judon looks like he hasn't missed a step. Dietrich Wise is a player he's really come back. He's really come back, kind of, you know what, proving that he's reliable on the edge. And I'm going to give my props where my props are due because – the Patriots just have a knack for finding corners. Jack Jones with the pick 6 on Sunday. He was great.
Jack
in coverage
Jones is the
too.
Truth. He is the truth. I'm telling you.
He is. People look at those, like, people, I think, look at, like, the Cole Strange pick and go, like, oh, Bill can't draft. But then he finds Jack Jones. I think it was either third or fourth round. I know Jack was third. He was fourth. Marcus was the third. Marcus was 85th. Yeah. I think Jack was like 129, I want to say, was the pick for him. The fact that you can go out and find those diamonds in the rough, the Kyle Duggars, the players like that. That's another player, too. Kyle Duggar, who I'm going to say on record right now, Mark Andrews doesn't go sicko mode if Kyle Duggar's out there in week three. That's one thing I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think they had Joshua Bledsoe in that role. He had him on five snaps, like the quote-unquote passing downs, and he looked fine. It was just when he wasn't taking him, and it was just like, you know, Andrews against the field, against whoever was out there. That's when it kind of got gross. I mean, McCourty couldn't have covered that touchdown any better. I'm telling you, it's just, you know, he's not big enough. He's not, you know, strong enough. And it's like, he's also 35, so it's fine. I would agree. I think that Ravens game is different if Duggar plays.
Basically, I like to look at the college football for each of these games, like how I thought last Sunday was going to be Big Ten football. Ravens, we got Big 12 football. But this Sunday coming in, besides me coming in, I've told you this, I arrive in less than 48 hours. We have throwback uniforms. We have the Detroit Lions. Like, I look at this game and I'm just like, I don't think there's ever been a more exciting 1-3 game, just because you have one team you're not sure what you're going to get, and you have one team who, for as good as they have been offensively, their defense is just like on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Yeah. Which I just want to cut in and say one quick thing. And featured, and I know Taylor Kyles has said this, I saw his video about Jeff Okuda really coming into his own in the NFL. Yeah. So
yeah. He looks like every bit the top five pick that he was supposed to be. I've been big on Okuda. That injury last, I think he would have been there last year, but then, you know, obviously the injury, Achilles. Yeah, the Achilles set him back. So I think he's really come to his own. I just it's everywhere else. I think they're looking to build a really good D-line. I think they're still a year away. They remind me of, you know, San Francisco when they started building their D-line, right? They, you know, they started with Eric Armstead. They went out. They got, obviously, DeForest Buckner. Solomon Thomas came after that. And they kind of just built out that line. Like, every year it's kind of, you know, getting a nice, you know, a nice pick up front.
Yeah.
I really like the players they went and got. So, obviously, you know, you have Aiden Hutchinson, the, you know, second overall pick. I really like Julian Okwara. I think he's a good player. Their D tackles, though, Alim McNeil and I'm blanking on the other one. They have two second-year tackles that they drafted, I think, second and third. Either way, they drafted them last year. And they've been really good.
Was it Vitae?
No. But I'll pull it up. But I like the tackles they have over there as well. It's just really for me the linebackers and the safeties. I'm just like, yeah, I don't see what y'all are trying to do here, because they're back. They have Alex Anzalone playing, and I mean, God bless him, but holy cow, he can't be your best linebacker. I'm sorry, he simply can't be. I don't see it. Walker, they had I thought he was their best safety. Yeah, you know. So. There's that. I don't really like their defense at all. And I think it's just hilarious that the defense is also just terrible. And I saw like a stat, it's like, oh yeah, you know, the Lions offense is putting up 35 points a game and the defense is giving up 35.3. And I'm like, that is hideous. Like, that is just, you don't win a lot of football games that way.
But it's the one game.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, I am too. Like with Sunday, like I look at what they're doing and like you see how they beat the football team, but then Minnesota and Philly, teams that are going to be in that playoff mix, and Philly might be in the Super Bowl mix, you lose to. And then this past Sunday with Seattle, which how famous do you think you have to be to get on a golf cart to go take a dump? Do you think you have to be relatively famous like that?
I don't think I'll ever get that way. That was so funny though. I love DK. That I hear him though. Sometimes you gotta go, you gotta go. Sometimes it's just not gonna make you know it. When you start bubbling, you're like, ugh, it's gonna be a tight call. And that's a big field, so I hear him.
Yeah.
The player I was thinking of is Levi Onwuzurike.
That's who it was.
So yeah. So it was Levi went second, and Lim went third. So I like obviously their, you know, D line that they're trying to build over there.
The one bright spot they have is Malcolm Rodriguez right now, in my opinion. He's been playing really well. I think he was a fifth round pick at Oklahoma State. But besides that, yeah, like this is a team that when they get into shootouts, if you get into a shootout with a raw team, like say, I don't know, Thanksgiving Day when the Bills come to town.
Yep.
That's gonna be something that
I'm really excited for like the throwback uniforms. Obviously, it sounds like they're going to do a little more than just the uniforms. I was reading that they're looking into, you know, different kind of signage on the wall to give it that kind of throwback feel. I'm almost wondering if they go back to the old font for the end zone logo as opposed to the logos they've been using since 20, what is it, 2012 or 2013. So I'm really excited about that. I really, really hope Matt gets the play because you know, I want a nice, comfortable win in those red uniforms. Like I just want to see it. I want to see some awesomeness in red. And if, you know, they go out there and lay a giant egg, I'm gonna be crushed. So yeah.
What was I gonna say? I know they're doing a rally towel giveaway. I've seen some stuff about flags and stuff like that, but I don't know too much into it. I just love how all of a sudden this became like breaking news where it's like, yeah, the Patriots wear the red uniforms. Meanwhile, Patriot fans, we've known this since like August that this game and the befitting Bills game coming up in December, those are the red uniform games. The one thing I'm gonna say right now is though, they're not laying a giant egg. They're going to impress because, like I said, because I'm there. I bought my tickets last week. I'm very excited.
Yes. You gotta be the good luck charm. That'd be great.
I'm the good luck charm. Yes, sitting in section
Have you ever
224.
had the Patriots ever lost with you there? That's the real question.
So I've never been to Gillette. This is gonna be my first ever game at
Oh,
Gillette.
that's exciting.
The only other time I've seen them play was 2011, week three in Buffalo when the Bills were down 17, and then the Bills came back and won that game, if you remember that one.
I don't remember that. 2011. Oh,
I
that
think
was the
Brady threw like three picks or something like that, or four
yeah.
picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's the weird time when the Bills were like, they were both like 2-0 going to that game, and then the Bills like won that game, and then ever since then they like fizzled out, and then the Patriots just kind of, you know, rolled the wave of momentum and went to the Super Bowl that year against the Giants, the
Yeah.
second one. So that's the
Was
only
that
other
the
time
big
I've seen
Stevie Johnson game?
that might have been. That might have been.
Oh
I
man,
think so.
that game gave me an ulcer.
Oh, but you know what? No, so, like I said, Sunday is my first time in Gillette. I'm sitting kind of like, I think it's the corner, like basically it's that corner where the big Jumbotron is, not where the construction's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's the two, I'm in the 200 level because like tickets are pretty expensive there.
Was
And
it the Lions game? That surprises. Yeah.
But no, I'm like 224, but I believe the 200 level, it's not like its own level. It's kind of like connected to the 100 level. And I looked at the view on, and I just bought them off Ticket Exchange. It looks good. That's the thing
The
too, like
view
though, when I,
from 200 is pretty good.
that's
I
all I
stand by that.
ask. That's all
That's
I
where I
ask.
sit every time I go.
That's all I ask. That, and then, like I said, I have a full weekend planned Friday. I'm going to spend the whole day out in Foxborough, kind of like, you know, exploring the ground surrounding the stadium,
Yeah.
spending more money than I should at the pro shop, and going to the Hall of Fame. So it's going to be a very, very exciting weekend. I'm very excited to get out there. But no, with this game, like, I don't know what to expect. I feel like everyone's going to be thinking points, 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 but I could see a world where this is a defensive football game because do you see Jared Goff going out there and putting 45 on this Patriots defense?
No,
I don't.
no.
I do not.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I think the Patriots defense is obviously a very good defense. I don't think they're going to allow Patriots never really allow that many points in the first place. Like they're always like the top 10 in points allowed. You know, so I really don't think that. And I also just don't believe in Jared Goff. I think they, you know, the Lions offenses had to score a lot of points, and so he's kind of throwing to guys and kind of making it happen. But really, it's been like one big play a game, like one like catch and run where something absurd just happens, and you're like, okay, cool. Last week it was obviously Hockenson. He had that big catch and run, even though he didn't get into the end zone on that. Amon-Ra St. Brown had one against the Eagles. So I think the Patriots can limit that pretty well, especially if Amon-Ra doesn't play. If he does play, obviously that's gonna be tough, especially because he lines up in a slot, and Miles Bryant also happens to play there, so that could get ugly. Yeah.
I know it's like the hold your breath and just hope for the best. The only other thing I'll give the Lions credit for is their offensive line, I think, is very underrated. I think they have a really good offensive line as well, but
Yeah, I think it's a top three in the league. I really do. I think it might actually be top two. I think Eagles have the best line in the league. I think that's, you know, not really up for debate. I would yeah, so and then from there I really do like I like Tampa's line more than other people do. And I really like obviously like Detroit's line. They're another one who kind of just took a bunch of took a bunch of offensive linemen high, even though they had good offensive linemen, and just built, you know, strong strength. And that's just a really good way to do it, because they had obviously Taylor Decker and they took Penix Sewell anyway. You know, they Frank Ragnow is a really good player. They have, was it Crosby? He was a third rounder, but still, like, they kind of just built it over time. And so it was like, oh yeah, they have one good player on the line. Then the next year they have two good players on the line, and all of a sudden, oh shit, they have a really good line. So I like their offensive line as well.
Oh, the only thing I'll say about Sunday with the quarterback battle with Goff and either Zappe or Hoyer, or even in the odd chance it's Jones, I think if it's – I'm not going to say Jones because I trust him in this stance, but if it's Zappe or if it's Hoyer against Goff, it's going to be which quarterback screws up the least. It's going to be, yeah, you know, that – like I thought with, like, this Sunday, like, say you could see one of those guys throwing a heartbreaking interception. I could see this being a close game. All I ask for is a good competitive game of football. I don't want an egg laid by either side. I want a good back-and-forth game. I want to get my money's worth. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm already mentally preparing myself for, like, when I see the stadium. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to feel, because, like I said, this is like a trip in a lifetime in the making for me, in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Gillette's a great time.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. Let's go. Before we get back to Patriots, I want to play I'm going to pull up my app quickly on the phone and just go through a list of teams with you. I just want to veer away from the Pats for a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to go through all the teams in the league right now. And I'm going to pick out some, and I want you to tell me if you're worried about them or if you're not worried about them. And the first one I'm going to start with is Pittsburgh.
Not worried, but that's only because, like, I think going into the year, they're kind of playing exactly how I kind of thought they were. But because they benched Mitchell Trubisky, I think, all right, like, we can finally start getting something going. I don't think I'm not huge on Pickett. I don't think they'll go out there and be like some kind of stud. But I think they will be way more competitive than they were with Mitchell, because Mitchell just refuses to throw to the middle of the field. And I don't know why, but he just won't throw into the middle of the field. So obviously getting a quarterback who will read the whole field and throw to the whole field will help a lot. So I think they'll be imminently more watchable.
The New Orleans Saints.
I think they're bad. I do think they're bad. I you know, this week people are, oh, you know, Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston. And I'm like, that's a big bag of suck either way. So I don't know. Their defense should be better than they are. They're just not playing really that way. Their offensive skill players are quote unquote good. They're fine. Alvin Kamara is like their best player, as far as I'm concerned. And I know everyone's excited to have Michael Thomas back, but that team doesn't move the needle for me at all.
The Colts.
They're bad. They are bad. They're as bad as I kind of thought they were going to be. I don't believe in Matt Ryan. I've never believed in Matt Ryan. He's fine. But I've never believed him as, like, that guy. I always kind of thought he was way more Andy Dalton-like than everyone else, where I'm like, you give him a good team, he'll probably be pretty good. You give him a bad team, he's probably pretty bad. But they are not playing well. And it's, yeah. Yeah, worried, very worried.
I think so. The only other teams, like, when I look on this list, I'm just like, yeah, I worry about all of them. Like, Carolina, like, I'm not even worried. That's just, they suck.
No, they need They need to fire Matt Rhule. Just fire him and move on.
1-24 when your opponent scores in more than 17 is, like, all the cannon fodder that Dave Tepper needs.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, I think he's also part of the problem, Dave Tepper. He's a quote unquote patient, but there's a point where it stops being patience and starts being foolishness, and we've reached that point last year. So, yeah, they need to get rid of Matt Rhule and figure something out. Baker isn't him, but even Baker shouldn't look this bad with that team. So,
yeah. The only other teams I see on there where it's like, I'm not worried about them, but I think that they're more of an illusion of how bad they really are, is Atlanta at 2-2, which they're feisty, but they're gonna lose some tough games. And you remember last year the Carolina Panthers started 3-1 and everyone was kind of being like, yeah, this team might be good. They could sneak in. Is that not the New York Giants right now? Or is it just me?
Oh, of course. Oh, my gosh, right? Like, I don't – oh, my goodness. Talk about smoke and mirrors, because even the games they won didn't look – you're just watching it like, okay, I guess, on, but I don't buy it. I do not buy them at all.
Like,
I'll give
maybe...
you one, though.
Okay.
I have one for you. I'll give you two, and they're a little harder. Worried or not, Green Bay Packers.
I'm going to say no, just because, like, you know how, which someone tweeted this out and I agreed with it, that the 2022 Packers look like the 2019 Patriots, where if Brady doesn't, I think, was that you?
Did I tweet it? That I know I put it in a DM, but yes, that is exactly how I felt.
If like, he doesn't find someone open, he just chucks it away.
Yeah, that is absolutely accurate. Where like everyone's just kind of waiting for them to like just, oh, they're gonna get good, and it's like, yeah, because of the quarterback, we all just kind of assume they're gonna just flip the switch and be good. But man, they do not look like a functional offense at this point.
My other one is
Tampa.
You know what? I'm saying yes. I'm concerned for them I'm not concerned about them for winning the division, just because, like we said, we don't think the Saints are that good. The Panthers are bad. And then the Falcons they're frisky. They're 4-0 against the spread, though. So for you gambling folks out there, Atlanta Falcons, moneymakers. I'm worried about them. Like even after, and also too late, I want to get into last night. I don't look at any NFC team and I'm like, maybe besides Philly, but like Philly doesn't have the experience yet. So I don't look at any NFC team and I don't look at them and I'm like, yeah, you can win the Super Bowl. I don't look at any team that way. So yeah, for those two, yeah. But that's the thing where I look at the Packers where I'm like, they'll make it, but I'm like, I don't have confidence in them to be in the Super Bowl. I think that Brady misses Gronk. He has.
Yeah.
That's the thing too. When everyone like, oh, the Patriots never gave him anyone to throw to. Who's he throwing to now? Like you're throwing to half of Chris Godwin, who I don't think he's fully recouped from his ACL yet.
He's hurt every game for injuries, and I'm not someone who believes in players being injury prone or anything like that. I just think like they kind of got to get him right, because if after every game he's like, you know, limping to the sideline, I'm like, whew, is he really back yet, or do we just need him to be back so he's out there? You know what I mean? That's kind of how I feel with him.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I'm going to go to last night, because this is the only team right now that I look at and I'm like, you could go to the Super Bowl. That's San Francisco. That defense, like, D'Amico Hines is going to be a head coach in the NFL.
He should have been a head coach this year. He is very good. Coordinate the shit out of a defense. My only one with them is Jimmy.
I was also going to say, too, I'm blanking on his name, but that pick six last night, and the ball recognition, my goodness. I know they call him, like
– Hafunga Talanoa. Hafunga Talanoa. I was trying to practice how to say it last night. I was like, yes. Yeah, he is going to be very good. I know he's only he played at USC. He looks like the real deal. Holy cow. And it happened like almost overnight, because he was like fine last year. Obviously, he was fine in college as well. And then like he just got to camp this year, and you read the reports and like, oh, this guy's kind of making plays. And then, you know, the game started and you're like, oh shit, this guy's making plays. So I'm looking to see how he develops. He's gonna be a player.
With the Niners though, when I say Super Bowl, I think it's just, you know what, if Jimmy doesn't screw up, if he does just enough to get them there, that's where I think they can maybe be a contender. I think the defense can carry them. If you want to talk about someone who's a non-existent tight end right now that you should be concerned about, I'm more concerned about George Kittle not contributing more than Hunter Henry. But my God, Deebo Samuel's a baller.
Yeah, he is. He's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and I have a team for you for the worried or not. The Rams.
Worried. Man, I believed in Matthew Stafford, but everyone, you know, they won the Super Bowl and all summer everyone's like, yeah, he just got carried there. The team's not that good. He just got carried. He's not that good. And I'm like, sure. He now looks like a quarterback who kind of just carried, because now that the team around him isn't as good, he just doesn't look right. And I'm like, oh, I know, he wasn't in and out during the summer. I know he has the injury. I think he's still more hurt than they're letting on. But at the same time, my God. Like, that pick six was disgusting. It was a great read by Talanoa. I'll give him that. But my goodness, like, talk about softballing the ball, the football, just lollipop. And I'm like, brother, what are we doing?
Yeah, like I think he's hurt. I think his elbow is worse than people are letting us believe. And at the end of the season, it's going to come out. You know what? He needs major surgery. It's this and this. That whole division, like Seattle, I think it's the same thing as Atlanta, where, you know what, they'll be frisky and they'll be in a couple games. But I think everyone's going to go back to that Denver game and be like, this team's good. And then you see them the next week and they're like, they're not good. And then Arizona's a team that I'm just like, Arizona's just a poorly run organization.
Yes. They bore me to tears. Have since, and that's what really, I really don't like Cliff Kingsbury because he has all these exciting players on offense. And his offense is still boring as fuck to watch. So, you know, what are we doing?
And I love everyone going, oh, Cliff Kingsbury deserves to get fired. And I'm like, they're not getting fired. They literally just got extended this offseason, Steve Keim. And they're not going anywhere. The only other team I have to say for the concern thing is, oh, also, I'm not going to even say concerned about this. Wherever we're going, Cooper Rush is better than Dak. I'm like, the second Dak is healthy, he's getting back in there.
Holy cow. There is no
– for everyone going, oh, but it's the right decision. I'm like, you're paying Dak $40 million a year. You're not having this on the bench. And I can't wait till next March when someone – pays Cooper Rush starter money.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, no. And then, you know what? It's like, yeah, he's good. He's good. And then everyone's hyping him up. And then September rolls around and everyone's like, we made a big mistake.
Yeah, I don't see what they're seeing. What they're seeing in Cooper Rush, he's kind of just executing the offense. And I guess that's enough. But I think he's a player who should be in the league for a long time as a backup. I think kind of like secured his role going forward. But someone's going to pay him $20 million a year to play, and it's going to be hideous.
It really is. The only other teams I think of when I think of this whole worried or not thing, I think of Jacksonville, where I'm like, they're. I think Sunday we learned that's their true team, where like you had a 14-point lead against Philly, and then Philly basically just said no and outscored you 29-0.
Yep.
That's where you learn, like, okay, Jacksonville, you're not here yet. The only other thing I want to say too, because I haven't done a podcast since this has all happened, but the Tua drama, not drama, but the Tua stuff going on in Miami.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's the only thing I want to say commenting on it further is just the fact that I feel like Mike McDaniel's like that, like, kid that's in trouble. That's like, you can tell he's lying, but he's trying to act straight as possible and be like, no. Yeah. Like, we care about him, the person, not the player, and he get back. And even how yesterday the reporter came out, yeah, he's not playing this week. I literally think that came out because they want to save face and avoid another PR disaster.
Yep. I like McDaniel as like a football player. I think I've already gotten to the point of absolute fatigue with the way people, the national media, the way they talk about him. Like, anytime he says anything, they're like, this guy's the coolest guy ever. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, he's a football coach. Like, let him, you know, coach football. We don't have to like hang on his every word. As far as the whole Tua thing, that was pretty bad, obviously. And I think only one person getting fired is, I don't know. I know, you know, the, you know, unaffiliated, and you know, the basically the spotter, the neuro dude. I think he obviously made some errors and that's why he was fired. But I think Miami gets let off the hook for their part in it, just because, like, even if, you know, that one dude did make the errors, the one doctor guy made the errors and let Tua, you know, finish out that Buffalo game, you know, he didn't, you know, Tua didn't practice all week leading into that Thursday game. It's a short week. Your quarterback is hurt. Even if you honestly believed it was just his back bullshit, that it was just his back, you then put him out there on a short week. It's week four. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's week four. It's a little too early to be risking your season for one regular season game. I just think it's awfully convenient that only one person was fired or only one person disciplined at all. I think we'll see in a few weeks if the, you know, NFL's report's going to come back like, oh, yep, it was just the one dude and that's, you know, that's it. And that's going to be the result of their investigation. And, you know, no one's going to be in any trouble and no one's going to, you know, nothing's going to happen. There will be no repercussions for that outside of the one dude getting the axe. But I think on the whole, I think it's fair to look at the organization and ask, how did this happen?
Well, it's also one of those things too, where, and I've said this for years, the NFL does not care about what happens. That's why all the domestic violence and sexual assault stuff gets pushed to the side sometimes until it's something that, you know what, until the shield's affected. Until the shield is affected, they don't give a shit.
Yep. And they've been that way for years. And I know a lot of people put that on Goodell and, you know, they blast him as being a bad commissioner. But in truth, he's actually a really good commissioner because he makes the league a lot of money. And by good, obviously, I mean within the context of what they hired, what the owners hired him for. Obviously, he's an atrocious runner of the league, but he's made them a ton of money, and he's a really good meat shield. Like, anytime there's anything even, like, remotely uncouth going on, they send him out there. He, you know, takes all the booze, takes all the arrows, takes all, you know, he falls on the sword, and all of the owners are just kind of like, all right, cool, you know, and no one asks any questions any further because everyone's mad at Dell, and it's like, cool, but, you know, the owners are his bosses, and they're, you know, they've been involved in a ton of shady shit, and, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you had an organization tampering with the greatest quarterback of all time while he was under contract, you know, brought him out, flew him out to Miami and all that. And then there was that whole weird retirement thing with Brady and then whether or not he was going to go back to the Dolphins with Sean Payton and they were tampering with him. And all that amounts to a big fine for the owner. And I'm like, cool, you're going to fine him $1 million. Great. He's a billionaire. Who cares? But, yeah. You know, that's neither here nor there. Because at the end of the day, the only person who's under fire for any of it is Roger Goodell. So.
Yep, you nailed every point on the head. I still think that Brady only came back this year just despite the ESPN reports that he retired. He wants to go out on his own terms.
Yeah, it's been really weird. I think at the end of the year we'll kind of see we'll see something come out about that entire saga about Brady's entire year. Actually, I think everything about his year since, you know, going back to, you know, the Lions. I mean, not the Lions, the Rams loss. Has been weird, and
yeah,
we just keep pretending it's not weird. It's like he retired. Oh no, he unretired. Oh, he's gonna, you know, he's committed to the team. Oh, he's gonna go on an 11-day break. Was he on the Masked Singer? Is he gonna come back? Is his heart in it? Oh no, Brady's fine. Everything's back to normal. Except he's gonna take Wednesday off. Except no, he's not gonna take this Wednesday off. Maybe next Wednesday. No, he'll not take that Wednesday off either. But there's some Wednesdays he's gonna take off. We swear. And I'm like, what the hell's happening here? Like this is weird. Like this is strange. For anyone, much less, you know, Tom Brady, who's, you know, by all accounts, one of the most dedicated, you know, passionate players in league history. And you have him, like, you know, taking trips to the Bahamas. You got the, you know, the weird, you know, veteran rest day, which he's obviously never had. And I get he's 45, so maybe, he'll get it. But it almost feels like that's something being asked of him, not something he's asking for. And then obviously you have the whole rumors with regards to his marriage, which I'm not going to touch on because I don't know either of them people. I don't really care. But I think there's a lot more going on with Brady than meets the eye. And I think at the end of the year, that's something that's going to come out as well.
Yeah, it's all going to come out in literally the day after the Super Bowl or like the day after the Bucs season ends. Who knows when that'll be. But like if the Masked Singer thing comes true, I'm just going to laugh because that was a Reddit theory. That was literally something that's supposed to happen. Was posted on Reddit literally in August right after. It's like, yeah, he's on the Masked Singer. So if he's on the Masked Singer now, everyone's going to say, everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, he just did the Masked Singer and stuff like that. How it's just like an unexcused absence and everything like that. So it's just one of those things. But I completely agree with you that we're going to find out about all of what he's done at some point. It's all going to come out and it's all going to be dirty laundry. Yeah. And like you said too, we know the marriage stuff's going on, but like you or I, we're not. That's not our department. We're here to talk football.
Yep.
And I want to shift gears back now to the Patriots because obviously we talked about Jack Jones earlier. Who else on the team has impressed you this year so far?
Recency bias will tell me to say Marcus Jones. He looks like a stud returner. He looked like a stud returner in the preseason as well. I know that he bobbled his first ever, his first ever return, and then he muffed the other one. So it was like, not it was an inauspicious start. And then he's been having issues getting on the field and they put Miles Bryan out. I think though, the two faces out of the tube at this point, you can't really go back to Miles Bryan when Jones is giving you like good field position. He's picking up chunks on the returns. You can't go back to that. So he has to, you gotta have to find a way to put him out. You're gonna have to find a way to put him out there. I think other players that impressed me, I really liked obviously Kyle Duggar. I think he's going into the season, everyone kind of had him as like pegged as like a guy who was gonna have a breakout year, and he has been very good. He has been the best defender on the field. What's that?
He's a dog.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's his tackling ability. His speed, obviously. I know that he gave up that touchdown, the long touchdown to Jalen Waddle in Miami. But outside of that, I think he's been I think he's been fantastic. So he's really impressed me. On the offensive side of the ball, Cole Strange has been very, very good. He is having a lot of people eat a lot of crow because, holy cow, he has been impressive. He's clearly their best puller, whenever they pull him, something good happens. So he's their best puller on the offensive line. He's been really good in pass pro. He's allowed one sack. There's still some communication issues where, like, there are some pressures that come from him and Trent Brown that you're not sure who it's on. But I think for the most part, he's been as advertised. He's a player that when you watch him and you learn that he was picked in the first round, you're like, yeah, I can see that. That totally makes sense. Totally. Even though everyone, including myself, we all hated it at the time. He's been really, really impressive. Nelson Agholor, I know I've talked about him a few times now, but I'll talk about him once again because I can't get over what a big difference it has been from last year to this year. And it really all comes down to usage. Nelson Agholor happens to look way better when you're not just running him straight down the field every play. Who knew? So they have to run a lot more crossers, a lot more shallow routes. And so he's getting the opportunity to like catch and run. And no surprise, he's always been really fast. That was the reason, you know, that Philly took him when they did in the first round. So I'm really impressed with Nelson Agholor. Obviously, he's been very good. And Jonnu Smith as a blocker, not necessarily as a receiver because I don't think the production's there, but I think that would be another player that impressed me on the offensive defensive side. Obviously, I talked about Kyle Duggar, Jack Jones, Marcus Jones. I think both of them should, you know, both of the Joneses should see more play time. Jalen Mills has been kind of what you expected. He's not going to get you killed, but you don't expect lockdown coverage. It's not his game. Dietrich Wise, you mentioned earlier, that is 100% right. He has been very good. He's obviously in the middle of a really good year. And really, I think that might be it as far as the defense goes, because I think other players impressed me in certain areas, but not on the whole. So I think Mack Wilson has been great coverage. He's been a liability in the running game. And I know he's kind of a smaller backer. But, you know, he's not been very good in the run game. Raekwon McMillan, I was drinking the Kool-Aid on him, and he has been bad. To the point where now he's just benched. So that sucks. You know what I mean? But I think on the whole, the defense has been good. It's just like the individual players have been great for a, you know, consistently good stretch of time. We'll put it that way.
So, you know, the Sunday, Jamie Collins is going to come in and have a great game. And we're going to go, you belong in Foxborough, young man.
He's good for like two games a year where he looks like the best linebacker in the world. And you're like, yeah, that's him. And then the rest is going to be like, you know, be completely invisible. Two of those games, he's going to look like the best player in the world.
Yeah. The only other guy I want to go with, but I don't, is Matt Judon, just because I feel like he's just picking up where he left off last year.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I don't know why I didn't address Judon. Yeah, he's been good. He has been very good. He has a sack in all four games. He is creating consistent pressure. I'm worried, though, that he'll wear down, because right now he's the only one creating consistent pressure on the edge. Uche has been that's just been a ghost and the invisible man. I tell you, he's not done a single thing. Even when he's gotten pressure, he's not finished. Obviously, he has no sacks on the year. I don't know. I honestly think that's why Judon was brought in. I mean, not Judon, Collins was brought in. I think they just need someone on the opposite side of Judon who can like get some pressure out there. Like, goodness, just do something. And you know, Anthony Jennings has been, I think, good in his role. He's not a pass rusher per se. I think he's just a, you know, he's a strong side backer. He's kind of in that high tower mode where he's like the strong side backer on the edge there. And they'll flip Judon to the other side. But they just need someone who can create pressure on the other side and on passing downs. And you know, Dietrich Wise has been doing a good job on rundowns and, you know, on traditional rundowns, but as like a speed rusher, he's not a speed rusher. So as someone who has, you know, hey, it's 3rd and 13, we need our speed guys out there. It's been Judon and Uche, but there's only pressure coming from one side because Uche has been a non-factor.
Yeah. The only other player, and I'll say this too about the Cole Strange pick, because it caused some stuff on Twitter recently because someone said Cole Strange was worth the pick, and everyone's going, that's not the player you should have picked at the position. I'd only say if it wasn't worth it, if, say, Creed Humphrey goes like 33, like, you know, someone of that elk, like there's no offensive lineman in that category that you're playing with. It's not the, you know, N'Keal Harry went in 32. Oh, but hey, Deebo Samuel just went after him. And now we know.
Yeah.
It's not that. So is the Cole Strange pick at the time, was it worth it? No. Now though, you look back at it, it was not a wasted pick. Cole Strange is living up to the hype. The other offensive lineman I have loved this year is Michael Owenu. He is playing like his 2020 self again. He's having a really good year. He's really solidifying himself. I believe it's the right guard position. What's he, the guard of the team? I always get two mixed up guard. He's the right guard. Marcus Cannon coming in is great. I think Isaiah Wynn is, we put him up the pasture. I think it's his
days. That really sucks. I really like Isaiah Wynn too. I do. I think he's been better than people have said he's been. He's always been like just slightly above average. Like he's always been, in my opinion, around like the 15th best tackle, which is fine. But this year he has just been, he's been brutal. He has been brutal. It's the penalties followed by the allowing of the pressure, giving up sacks. And you're just like, damn, bro, I can't even like defend this. Cause like objectively anyone with eyeballs can look and see 76 is the weak point on that line. You're like, damn.
Yeah, because I think for him, it's just like, you know, Chase Winovich from last year. He just needs new change of scenery. That's what he needs.
Yeah.
And then the other side of the ball, Trent Brown. I think Trent Brown's been fine. Obviously, the Miami game, he had some blunders. But for the most part, he's been, you know, he's been doing his job. He's been doing it the Patriot way. And then David Andrews is David Andrews. That's all I got to say about that. Lawrence Guy has been a guy I've really liked as well up until his injury. He's been really good as a run blocker, run stuffer. Both Harris and Stevenson have been great. I still have a weird feeling, though, that Harris won't be a Patriot next year. I don't know what it is. It's just there's something inside of me saying that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think he may be he may go somewhere else to get paid. Stevenson becomes RB1, and then they use either Pierre Strong or Kevin Harris in the run game more.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's what happens. Yeah, and then the only thing I have to say is it sucks that Ronnie Perkins got hurt because I would have loved to have seen him out there this year.
Yeah. I'm really curious about that because I don't believe in the Foxborough flu. I don't think that's a thing that actually happens. Whenever someone's like, "Oh, it's just the Foxborough flu," they're just dashing it for next year. I'm like, "Well, name one player that they did that with that worked." You know, like there are none.
Anderson is gone.
You know, yeah, you know exactly right. So or some people, you know, the some of the players they'll point out, like, you know, Braxton Berrios, oh, it was a Foxborough flu, and then they cut him. So it's like, not really. So I'm curious with him if it was a real injury, because I thought he looked good in the preseason games, especially on rollouts. I thought he was like, he always covered the rollout so well. I think he's a good athlete, and so he's a little raw, but he was always going to be a player that could give you something because of just raw talent. So it's tough that he's, you know, obviously out for the year. He could have given them something because right now they're not getting anything on that edge spot opposite Dudon.
Yeah, that's just the thing. And then Adrian Phillips too has been, he's had his moments, he's had his flashes, but I think he's banged up right now. And then like we're saying earlier, Myers has been good. Bourne's been, they have to get Bourne involved. I feel like every time Kendrick Bourne gets involved, it's like, guys, play him more. And I know which everyone likes to be on Judge and Patricia's case of like, oh, they're not that good at their jobs at San Francisco. It's like, okay, yeah, you can go do it. You go coordinate an NFL team. You'd be a contender. That's what I'm like trying to say. They're the best at what they do for a reason. They're the
right.
Coaching football is not an easy job. Out of all the major sports to coach, it ain't easy.
I think it really just comes down to the fact that, you know, Judge went to New York and Matt Patricia went to Detroit, and they both teams were absolutely terrible. And for the most part, people find them to be unlikable. So they get a lot more flack than I think they deserve, or than I think is appropriate for the time that they're getting it. I think, you know, if it's before the season even starts and we're in camp and people were like, they got to fire them, this is the worst they've ever looked, I've never seen an offensive worse than camp, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, relax. You know what I mean? Like, I know you have an axe to grind. I know, you know, Patricia is not likable and Judge is an ornery dude, but relax, kind of let us see. And as a result, I think the offense is getting a lot more scrutiny than it deserves as well, because what we're seeing is a lot of, like, execution errors, right? You'll see, you know, go out there and Patriots will pick up a nice chunk of, you know, on first down, you know, it'll be second and one, and then, oh, false start. Now it's second and six. Oh, now there's a sack. And you're going to be like, oh, look at Matt Patricia's offense. I'm like, he didn't coach them to false start. He didn't coach them to give up sacks. Like, you know what I mean? Those are execution errors. So those are, you know what I mean? So
he wasn't going to know that, hey, Kyle Hamilton's going to come up out of nowhere and strip Nelson Aguilar the ball.
No. Hey, he didn't know that, you know, he didn't tell Mac Jones to throw it, you know, throw it to Marlon Humphrey in the back of the end zone on a miscommunication with Devontae Parker. So, you know, these are like the things that we're seeing. It's like just errors in execution that people want to blame the coaches for. And I'm like, I can understand why you want to do that. But at the same time, like, at the at the end of the day, the players have to go out there and execute. And if they're not executing and there are clear execution issues, I think we're bailing them out too much by then blaming the coaches. Like, if Matt goes out there and throws three interceptions like against the Ravens, I think it's now it's to then turn and be like, well, see, it's Matt Patricia's fault. And I'm like, no, we're letting Mac off the hook here. Like, he went out there and threw three interceptions. He didn't play well. That's on him. You know what I mean? I think it's too convenient to just kind of always blame it down on, oh, it's the coaching, when there are very clearly like execution errors. If a player runs the wrong route and the ball gets intercepted because the QB threw it where he was supposed to be, no one looks to the offensive coordinator like, why'd you call that play? But that really does come down to the fact that for the most part, it seems like a lot of people seem to believe that, like, play calling works in a way that it doesn't work. They're like, oh, yeah, why don't they just throw, just call the play where, Devontae Parker ends up wide open. Why didn't they just call that again? And I'm like, because he's not going to end up wide open again. What do you mean? Like you thought, like, the play call was the reason he was wide open? No, like, someone blew the coverage. What are we talking about?
Yeah, like, even too, what was I going to say? And if all else fails, look, Josh McDaniels will be back here by 2024. So just don't hold your breath on that.
They're not the Raiders are not a good team. Neither are the Broncos, though. And I did call that one. I was like, I didn't believe in them. Russell Wilson is three bad games away from everyone joining me on the whole is he washed category, because that's where I'm kind of standing right now. I'm looking, and he is just not playing well. And I know it's only four games in the season, obviously, but I think given what he put on tape last year, what he put on tape in the second half of 2020, and what he obviously put on tape the first four games of this year, I think it is fair to start to wonder, like, is he still an elite player? I would say no, but, people would obviously push back on that.
This might be a bit of a hot take question, but if there is a, which I just had a thing go through me because I remembered what the Thursday nighter this week is, and it's Colts Broncos. So buckle up, everyone on Amazon Prime. Who's more likely to lose their job after one season, McDaniels or Hackett?
Hackett. He, only because with McDaniels, the Raiders are fine, like, as far as like roster talent goes. I think kind of
they have the 28th ranked defense.
Yeah, I don't think, I think they're kind of top heavy, where like their high end players are really good. It's just everyone else is just fine. So I think knowing that and knowing who Mark Davis kind of is, I think he'll kind of get a pass on that. Like, all right, yep, we'll kind of give you another year, kind of build it. Whereas with the Broncos, I think they have a team ready to win the Super Bowl like right now. They have, they go four deep at wide receiver. They go like four deep at cornerback. They have my favorite safety, one of my favorite safeties in the league, and Justin Simmons. They have Bradley Chubb. They have obviously Randy Gregory, who just went on IR, but they had, they obviously had the pass rush there. They need linebackers, but, who doesn't at this point? And so they look like a team that's ready to go. They had obviously two stud running backs. Javonte Williams obviously just went on IR, but they had, Melvin Gordon. So I think they probably think they have a team ready to win now. And if the trend continues as they have through the first four games and Nathaniel Hackett kind of looks overmatched, then I think they may make a change just for the sake of, like, hey, we have our team. Here's our window. Let's go get it.
The only thing I'm going to say quickly is this Thursday's game feels like a must-win for either team to keep your season alive. I know it's week five. Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but this is a game that big for both.
Yeah, I think if the Broncos – I think it feels bigger for the Broncos, but I think if they lose, they're kind of cooked as far as, like, the AFC goes, just because, I think – they play in a tougher division, obviously. They still have the games against Kansas City to go. They still have the Chargers. They still have another date with the Raiders. Obviously, we'll see how those games go. But on paper, those are tougher teams. Then, hey, we got to go play Houston. Again, we have to go play Jacksonville, or we have to, Tennessee's probably going to be a tough out, but we have to go play Tennessee. So it looks, on paper, it looks like it's a bigger game for the Broncos. Because if they lose, I don't know how long we go until their next, decisive win.
I'm looking at their schedule here, and on the week 12 they're going to Carolina to play the Panthers. Think about how that game, we went from those two teams now being like weirdly bad and like mid from what I say is the worst Super Bowl of all time. I still stand by that. Super Bowl 50 was not a good game at all.
No, it was not.
No, I know people like to say Super Bowl 53, but no, Super Bowl 50 was just not fun. That was boring.
Nope.
Football. And then even the other one too here now, Christmas Day, we get treated to the Broncos versus the Rams. Like, who, like?
Yeah, see, on paper, that's supposed to be like a marquee matchup. In truth, we're probably going to get there, and they're both going to be under 500. Like, that's a real possibility.
It'll still bring in a lot of viewers because it's Christmas, and I know there's NBA on Christmas, but NFL. I love how the NFL finally discovered, like, hey, yeah, let's play on Christmas, and we'll, like, get 20 million to 30 million people watching these games. It's like,
I think for a long time they were kind of afraid of the NBA because the NBA had Christmas on absolute lockdown. Like, it was like, oh, you know, what are you doing on Christmas? Everyone's watching basketball. I think they slowly kind of started, like, nudging their way in. It helps that the last few Christmas games they've had have been, you know, relatively good. Or at my score, they've been good. But I remember Alvin Kamara just had, like, 5 touchdowns. Shit. Like, I'm around at my mom's house with my, you know, family, obviously. This is, and we're like, this is absurd. Like, this, I can't believe this is happening right now.
Yeah, it's like Thanksgiving this year. We're going to get Bills, obviously Bills, Lions. You could take your nap and or watch Giants, Cowboys. And then at nighttime, you get the Patriots and the Vikings, which I don't want to say automatic win, but we all know the Kirk Cousins primetime effect. So
I like the Vikings as a team. I don't like Kirk Cousins enough at all to, like, watch their games more than I have to. If they're, like, the only game on, like they were on Sunday, then obviously, like, I'll watch it because I'm a slut for football. But if I have any other game I can possibly watch, it's not going to be the Vikings. I just, because Kirk Cousins, if he's not going to, he's just an exciting enough. And it's mostly only exciting because, like, Justin Jefferson catches the ball and just does ridiculous things after. But with Kirk Cousins, he's so safe. He's, you know, he just, I don't know. He's not a fun player to watch.
No, he's not. What was the only thing I was going to say? The one thing I want to say about the Lions, too, and I want to ask you about this, are the 2022 Lions a version of the 2019 Bucks? Because, like, you know, last year everyone was saying that the 21 Broncos was just, we just need a quarterback. We need this. I'm like, no, you also need Vic Fangio to go, which I believed in since 2020. But that was one thing I just came to my mind with the Lions is the Lions this year, like, you know how we were saying a quarterback away. Is that what they are? Or do they think that's more to them?
You know, from what, like, contention of, like, a title or for like, just
in terms, like, of friskiness or in, like, friskiness in the hunt? No. I'm not putting Detroit in the playoff picture unless they go out and, like, trade for, like, fuck, let's see if there's an available quarterback. I can't even think of a quarterback to go in there and immediately make an impact.
Right. I can understand. I can see that argument, them being a quarterback away. I think, we went through their roster already. I kind of like what they're going. I think they're a quarterback and a linebacker away, honestly. But you can get by with bad linebacker play if you have strength elsewhere. And I like their cornerback group. Amani Awarie is a player I really like as well, on top of Jeff Okuda. So, but yeah, I can understand that argument just because, like, I think they have enough players to, like, you know, be in the hunt. It's just Jared Goff is going to throw it to the other team, and that's going to cost them more games than it should.
Can't wait to see him throw an interception on Sunday, and hopefully the Patriots get a win on Sunday. Before we go, though, I just want to ask you for a quick permission. I was going to, like, name the podcast, like, Zap or something else. Do I have your permission to use Slut for Football as the podcast title?
Yeah, go for it. I'm a huge slut for football. I love that.
I'm going to post it online. Everyone's going to be like, what the fuck? And I'll be like, you have to listen to find out. You have to listen to find out. But anyway, guys, we're 186 episodes in the bag now. Think about that. 200's coming up very soon. McGarvin, it's always been a blast to talk to you. I was actually checking out some of your content yesterday. I saw the video of the Powerpuff Girls recipe video on Nice ENT Group, which, yes, I looked that up, and I was just like, oh, I want to see what this guy's videos are like. And I saw that one, and then there was a couple other video game related stuff like there. So guys, check him out. Nice ENT Group at Patriots POV. He literally is a dude with a keyboard and a microphone talking about the Patriots, but that's all all us Patriots fans are. We just love talking about this team. We just love this team, love this game. We're sluts for the game. But anyway, guys, it's been a blast, McGarvin. Is there any last remarks you have before we take off today?
Have fun on Sunday. Have fun. I really enjoy your time at Gillette. Just, like, soak it all in, because I know it's not the same, and fan bases, but people who have been to other stadiums are like, oh, this is, it's fine, it's mid or whatever, but Maybe I'm just a homer. I love Gillette. I love going to Gillette. I love the entire atmosphere. I love the game. And then I love afterward, you know, all the shops around. You kind of just walk around as you wait for the traffic to die down. So really enjoy it, because it really is a fun experience.
Can't
and
wait.
Hopefully there's a
can't
win wait. To celebrate with that. So
that's all I'm going to end this on, guys. Just fingers crossed for the W. We'll see you guys tomorrow night as we get ready for week 5, because like I said, episode's got to be up and recorded before I go to Boston. Bye, everyone.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.